Buddy, welcome to a Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Jeff Morey alongside. We'll take you to three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Venati. He has 2 hours for you, then it's time for Major Wager Monday. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Terrific matchup tonight. Could be an NFC title game preview, though. The game that's going to be played in SoFi next Sunday, I'll probably have a lot to say about that because the Rams and Seahawks are both playing great, but it is the Eagles and the Packers tonight. Lakers are over on 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500. Or precisioneng.net for more information. When we go over the schedule, I'll tell you about everything that Ed does for Fresno State through his terrific donating to not only the university, but particularly the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. A lot of those graduates go to work for Ed at Precision. I'll tell you all about that when we go over the schedule. Paul with me today. To Randy and to Ben, I will get to your emails as quickly as I can, but first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Number one, everybody at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate their sponsorship and what they do for athletics throughout the valley. Right now, it's a throwback to the late 90s. They have the honey barbecue flavor on everything, the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. Deals on the 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals. Also, keep in mind, you still have the Tuesday $10 8-piece bucket or tenders offer. Wednesday, country fried steak for $5.99, and the chicken sandwiches, as always, $3.99. So terrific deals at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. If you stop in, pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout this great valley of ours. Other reminders, the weather looking great again for the week, although, and this is good news, we may see some rain Wednesday into Thursday. It will be clear tomorrow for Veterans Day. I hope you go to the parade. Hope you, again, keep in mind what the day is all about. And to all those vets out there, we owe you a great debt of gratitude. And certainly tomorrow is your day, and I hope you have a great one. As far as the forecast, 81 today. Then we'll go 77-77 Tuesday, Wednesday, the lows in the high 50s, so really pleasant. Then late Wednesday, the clouds come in and maybe some rain toward the end of the day. And then on Thursday, it looks like rain for most of the day. We'll see how that plays out. And we'll see the temperature fall from 77 all the way down to 60. And we'll see the lows go into the 40s. For both Thursday and Friday, with the storm getting out of here on Friday, with some possibility of showers as it leaves on Friday. And again, with those temperatures and all the moisture, look out for the fog, particularly in the outlying areas, but even in the metro area. Then 62 Saturday, 65 Sunday. So we're going from 81 all the way to 60 in just a few days, but we do need the rain, and I hope everybody is safe out there. And again, I hope you enjoy everything you can possibly garner from the meaning of Veterans Day, and tell the vets thanks. You know, stop by the parade, or anybody you know who's a veteran, tell them thank you for everything they've done for this country. Good forecast comes courtesy of Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, as we tell you all the time, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, or leesair.com on the web. Also, Lee's sponsors, the hotline, that's how we'll bring Paul up in just a moment. That, and mark it down because it's the way that Phil also brings up callers from the general public. That is 559-320-1430. Lee's, terrific local people. Been in NorCal in Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. The other reminder that I want to tell you about right now comes courtesy of our good friend Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 25th anniversary right now. And for the last three decades, Joe has been a booster at Fresno State. And again, another guy who's looking to be part of the solution, and you sure need a lot of them right now at Fresno State, that's for sure. And if you have any need at all for his terrific business, which is at 4529 North Marty Avenue, Town Suite 103, you can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has an email, gabe.sps@gmail.com. You can contact him directly. Talk about it every day. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, anybody around a valve, a tanker delivery situation may cause you to worry about your valves. If you're at a dairy, you may have a valve. If you're around a boiler service at all, anybody who works around valves, if a valve goes down, your business can go crashing down with it. What Joe can do is not only offer you terrific components, but same-day estimates, same-day service, a family-friendly business. You can stop on in or give him a call. Tell him what's going on with your business. He'll analyze the situation and get you up and running again in a big hurry. If it's a minor hit, he'll make sure it stays that way so you can stay smoothly along the path for your financial well-being. It's what Joe does and has done now for 25 years. Also, in giving to Fresno State, he'd like to spend a little bit of time with you to tell you the best way to go about it right now. So if you have a few minutes, if you call him or stop in, he will tell you to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. You'll find the donate link right at the top. And like we said before, you can't miss it. The BDF is the first place you head to, and it's the 75th anniversary, by the way, of the Bulldog Foundation, so critically important in scholarship efforts at Fresno State. But it's not the only thing that's there under BDF. As a matter of fact, there are different headers. If you go to the donate link, you will see that under BDF membership, you'll have Club Red there, as well as the benefits and the brochures. Over in the major giving societies, that link, the Green V Society, the Myers Champion Circle is there. Under ways to give, you have the methods of support, so you can see what the delineation is for the ways to give. And then the Valley Co-op is there, which is very, very important. And then the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball. He's on the board of directors of the timeout club. They'd love to have more members. He said give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or you can hit him up on his email, FurtickJack@AOL.com. There are links for other men's and women's sports there as well, including Dugout Club for baseball. So check that out under sports clubs. Great chance to give to your sport and also to be involved socially with a lot of the other people that are right there in line supporting athletics at Fresno State. And then finally, under the More link, you can have information for tickets and parking and all of that kind of stuff right there at your fingertips. So go to the donate link at GoBulldogs.com, and you can get yourself wherever you'd like to go to help Fresno State. And we really appreciate everything Joe Cruz does for the university, and we certainly appreciate what Joe and his great business do for our radio stations. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. Thank yous go out to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And, of course, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Right now, as always on a Monday, we turn to our great friend and longtime voice of your Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I'm great. I'm glad you mentioned the BDS and that 75th anniversary. I actually just retweeted one of their posts about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The Fresno State's in a select group of schools that have multiple semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year, or people that are still in the running for that gold jacket. That's saying something. We had a great night Thursday for the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame, which featured a Pro Football Hall of Famer, Willie Wood, finally being inducted here, and some great Bulldogs, Melanie Parent, Matt Garza. Boy, they told some powerful stories about the people that propelled their careers. And just a reminder that we live in a special place filled with special people. And, you know, you're talking about our friend Joe Cruz and all the vows, and it kind of sounds like vows. And I got to officiate some vows Saturday, so I want to congratulate one of our latest fantastic couples here in the Valley, Eric and Brittany Ostlund, for their big day and their future together. And looking forward to a special night at Valley Children's Stadium Saturday, the 45th anniversary of the first game ever in that stadium. And I know you remember, Tony, when Sergio Toscano hit Steve Mushagian for the first touchdown in the history of the stadium. Hard to believe it's been 45 years. But hopefully it'll be just as special a night against Wyoming as we celebrate Native American Heritage Night. And
I just lost Paul momentarily there, Jorge. Is he still there? Back to 20. We had a little bit of a technical glitch, but Paul is with us, and we'll be able to go uninterrupted now for the next half hour plus all the way to 55 after. So let's bring Paul right back up. Paul, how you doing?
You're there.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, it's something that can happen on occasion. So, we will move forward. And like I said, I'm glad we can go through now unfettered the rest of the way. And, you know, thanks again to all the sponsors. I will mention them one more time before we wrap things up today. A couple of things, Paul, I wanted to bring up here that came through email. And one is from Ben, and his question was, as it stands right now, as you're well aware, and maybe you have more clarity from this than I do or about this, the fact that you've got the unfortunate circumstance of a 7:30 football game and at this point still a 7 o'clock basketball game, Ben was wondering if this wouldn't have been an opportunity to maybe, if that's the case, play a midnight madness sort of basketball game, allowing anybody who went to the football game to come in for like an 11:30 at night start for basketball. And he mentioned, you know, that he realizes with it being Utah Valley State, there might be an issue not only about travel, but obviously playing on a Sunday in that kind of situation, though that is a public institution. Let's start there, Paul, before we get into football about basketball and that conflict. Is there any hope that we resolve this, or is it etched in stone right now, 7 and 7:30 for the two games? What can you tell me?
Well, unfortunately, I think it's etched in stone. It's, you know, I know a lot of people have ideas of solutions, but the transition between a volleyball floor and a basketball setup has, hard and fast parameters. There are union requirements for the arena. There are all kinds of things that, unfortunately, seem insurmountable in this situation. I even said, why don't we play it outdoors on the soccer field, you know, the tailgate area for football? That would be fun. But any of these scenarios, moving the day, they would all need Utah Valley's consent. And I can't imagine Utah Valley being willing to play that late. And, you know, if you're Utah Valley, you say, hey, if you're playing the same time as your football game, great. You won't have a basketball crowd, and we've got a better chance. I know, you know, there are all kinds of great ideas out there that could solve the problem. But unfortunately, I think at this point it is what it is, and it's just going to have to take place there at 7 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. So Bulldog fans will have to make that choice. But, you know, congrats to Coach Wahlberg and the team for a big bounce-back victory against Long Beach State on Saturday, playing more like, I think, the team they can be. And, you know, that game against Utah Valley will be a big test because they've had a lot of success in the WAC in recent years. And now they're playing the defending Big West champions on Wednesday night in UC San Diego with a new regime. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday night at 6 o'clock and seeing this if this team can put a little win streak together.
Jorge, I'm hearing Paul at times, and then I'm not hearing Paul at times. I understand. I can tell over the air that he is okay. Why I'm not hearing him right now, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if that's something we can resolve or not. Let me try one more time. Okay, Paul, can you hear me okay?
I got you, Tony.
Okay, and I hear him over air, Jorge, saying he's got me, but I do not hear him through the headset, so I'm not sure I know exactly what the issue might be station-wise right now. Paul, hang on for just a second, Jorge. Take a quick break here, if you would, just a one-minute break, and let's see if we can get this sorted out going forward. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:27 again. Apologize for the technical situation. Hopefully we can get through the rest of this hour. Let me bring Paul back up right now. Paul, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, Tony, you still sound relatively like yourself. So, you know, roll with the punches. The name of the game.
As you're well aware, I sound radically different in person than I do in this setup, which is either good or bad. Don't ask my wife, because she will tell me you can hear me through a wall whether you want to or not. and I don't need to tell you what that implication is, which is she would rather not, okay? So let's put it that way. So I'm just going to leave it at that. That's what 43 years of marriage will do for you. Just a comment. All right, back to the situation about basketball. We won't spend any more time on it, but it is unfortunate that with the timing, and as you mentioned, you have not only requirements with volleyball, it's also a conference match for volleyball. You're right, creativity would require cooperation, and there probably isn't any reason that Utah Valley State would want to make it any easier for Fresno State. We'll talk basketball with Jackson tomorrow. I do want to mention, though, before Saturday, Bulldogs are home on Wednesday against UC San Diego, so please head on out. That's a 6 o'clock tip, right, Paul? Is that correct on Wednesday?
6 o'clock, that is right.
Okay. All right, the other question, the one I wanted to address with you, Paul, in the time we have, and again, we'll go straight through to around 50 to 55, and it comes from Randy, and he asked, he said, look, I know it's a convoluted situation right now in conference, but can you bring clarity at all after what happened Saturday night past to Fresno State's situation to make the final two and play for the Mountain West Championship in the final year of the Mountain West for Fresno State? So let's try it this way. I'm going to say, for sake of argument, though, I know, as you and I have talked, Paul, mathematically there is a chance that teams that have three losses in conference could get in. Let's lop off the three lost teams just for clarity's sake and understand that teams that Fresno State has already beaten, the Bulldogs are in good shape with, as long as they're in a flat-footed tie, and I bring this up because Boise State is still there with one loss. What, Randy, has to happen is the Bulldogs have to win their last three realistically. And then, Paul, somewhere along the way, San Diego State needs to show up and be the team they were before against Boise State next week. Otherwise, the way the Broncos finish, they're home to Colorado State, Boise State is, after they're at San Diego, the Broncos are this weekend coming up. And then they're at Utah State, which could be a very difficult game. Bulldogs, of course, have Utah State after they have Wyoming, and then Fresno State finishes at San Jose State, who lost to Air Force, surprisingly, at home this last weekend. But, Paul, as I look at this, assuming that San Diego State is going to give Boise State that second loss, it really looks like New Mexico State or New Mexico or UNLV would be the main obstacles for Fresno State. Do you like the Bulldogs' chances if Fresno State wins these final three?
Yeah, I do. And that's the biggest part of the equation, right? I mean, we're just wasting our breath if they don't win those three. And that's the only part of it they can control. So would they love to have that Colorado State game back? Absolutely. But they can't. But, you know, what they did on the island at Hawaii was fantastic. And Hawaii looks like the hottest team in the league right now. What they did in Boise, right? Unprecedented. They'd never won a regular season game on the blue. Boise State had never been dominated in a regular season game on the blue that way. That was tremendous. So they need to channel that, take care of business against Wyoming. Utah State right now is playing as well as anybody in the conference. They put a beat down on Nevada. They've got probably the hottest quarterback in the conference right now, who's a dual threat. That's going to be a big challenge on senior day for the Bulldogs, November 22nd. And, you know, the Red Wave's going to need to pack the place out. And the last home game was a sellout. It would be awesome to finish the year with three straight sellouts, lead the nation in attendance again for outside the power conferences. I think that's a very achievable goal. And winning these three games, you know, not a one of those is going to be easy. Fresno State, you know, you go back 40-plus years, they've never had a game where they had as paltry a number of passing yards as they had in the win over Boise State. So, I mean, the passing game is going to have to improve. There's going to be a time where they have to throw the ball to be successful, right? So they need to improve. They need to be an unpredictable offense that keeps defenses on their toes. Love the progress in the run game last week. They didn't need to throw the ball anymore to win that game, but they are going to need to moving forward. So, you know, a lot of opportunity for growth, but a big opportunity to win the league, and they can't control what the other teams do. And I think a lot of fans are kind of confused. Do I root for San Diego State this week? Do I root for Boise State this week? And I just say, yeah, because, you know, Boise State without a quarterback could easily lose two more and fall out of the tie
situation. Or if they are tied with you, you have the edge. San Diego State, after getting thumped by Hawaii and really struggling offensively, could continue to struggle. And it's not only the Boise State game. I think New Mexico has the potential to beat San Diego State. And let's not forget, Tony, momentum's the most powerful force in sports. So right now, you know, the Aztecs need to prove they can bounce back after, I think, a loss that caught them off guard. And there's talk of their head coach going to UCLA, and you never know how distracted or how focused teams are. So there's so many moving pieces, and I would not count out the New Mexico Lobos, right? They're playing with house money. They're going to a bowl game under a first-year coach for the first time ever. And they're saying, you know what would be even better than the New Mexico Bowl? Playing in a conference title game and having a chance to go to SoFi. So I wouldn't count them out. I really don't think UNLV is going to be in the championship pairing this year. I think they were finally exposed for who they are this year. That's just my own opinion. I could be wrong. But, you know, Utah State is still in the mix, playing really well. And, again, all three of the Bulldogs games are going to have unique challenges. So the chances of them going 3-0 down the stretch is the biggest variable that they have control over and they need to execute. And I really think if they do, if they go 3-0, I think there's a really good chance they'll be playing in that Mountain West championship game. It's going to be fun to watch because you've got, you know, more than half the league is still in the mix and you've got a lot of fan bases that have reasons to show up on Saturdays.
Right. And, look, I'm in total agreement with you, Paul, and I'm also in agreement with Matt Ince and his approach, and it has to be. We are not even going to look at it that it's go 1-0 every week because any trip up, as you're mentioning, even though it's mathematically possible with three, it really is from a practical standpoint almost an impossibility given the schedules of other teams. And I'm also in lockstep with you about New Mexico because when you look at this, again, understanding that this is fine for us to discuss, it's not something that Matt would allow to come up with the team because that's how you get tripped up. Now, San Diego State, who had a case of island fever, and Hawaii's playing great, but San Diego State was a no-show last Saturday night. I know the weather was miserable. I watched the game on Spectrum Sportsnet, but I also know if the Aztecs have any pride at all, they're going to show up big this week. If they don't show up big this week, they could put themselves in jeopardy of losing the one seed. I look, Paul, at UNLV in New Mexico, as you do, because those are the two teams Fresno State cannot handle head-to-head because they don't play them. And when I look at the schedule, UNLV has home games with Utah State and Hawaii. Neither of those, as you referenced, are going to be easy. They finished at Nevada. They finished at Nevada, who hasn't won in conference yet, but Fresno State saw how close Nevada came to winning here. New Mexico is, to your point, very dangerous because they are home to Colorado State. They go to Air Force. That's going to be a tough game. But if they were to win those two, they finish with San Diego State. And the problem Fresno State has is if the Aztecs recover now and win against Boise and finish out the season by beating San Jose State, then going to New Mexico, there's a possibility New Mexico could hang its hat on the biggest quality win, beating the one-seed Aztecs. Right now, the Bulldogs have that quality win over Boise State. They could get usurped. So, Paul, incredibly, you're correct. For anybody not paying attention closely, New Mexico may be the biggest danger if Fresno State is able to win the final three. It could be the Lobos you're worried about in a weird situation at the end of the year. I don't know. I guess this is what the conference wanted when they got out of divisional play, right?
Well, yeah, you've got a bunch of fan bases that are still engaged. And, you know, if they were in divisional play, the Bulldogs would be rooting hard for Boise State because they would need San Diego State to lose two
That's
more.
Correct.
So,
yep.
If,
2014.
They're
yep.
in a favorable position.
Boise. Yep.
Exactly.
Well,
and they would need San Diego State to lose two more in order to win a West division under the old format.
Right.
And I'm sure, you know, let's be real, too. Not that this affects the outcomes or the way it's officiated or anything like that, but if the Mountain West could just choose and write a script right now, they'd look at the teams that are left in the mix and they'd say, hey, New Mexico and Hawaii, or New Mexico and UNLV, or Hawaii and UNLV, you guys are all staying with us. We would love to see you play in the championship game, right?
Yeah, well,
and
there's no doubt about that. Yes, there's
people always talk about watch out for the flags when you're on the Rock of the Islands. I'm with you, Paul. Watch out for the flags if you're one of the departing member schools, okay? Because, you know, it's just human nature, right? Hell hath no fury, okay?
I said it wouldn't affect the officiating, right, Tony. I said it wouldn't affect the officiating. But, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the Red Wave, you know, if this Bulldog defense plays like it played in Boise, we're going to have some fun at Valley Children's Stadiums the next couple weeks. And, you know, let's see how much momentum this team can build toward the finish line. If it carries them into a conference championship game opportunity, which would mean a chance at a 10-win season, even potentially before a bowl game, that would be really fantastic. But all we can do is show up Saturday night and see what happens.
Well, like I said, Paul, I'm hearing about every other word. We're going to get through this. I will say I will respectfully disagree with you about whether it affects the officiating or not. That's all I'm telling you. Okay? I'm saying I would like to think there would not be any type of separation anxiety, but I don't know. I look at the Hawaii game last year, and I wonder if maybe they thought Fresno State was leaving the conference early then, because, yes, we talked, there were some flags last year, and I'm not saying the Bulldogs shouldn't have controlled their own destiny before then, but there were some flags in the UCLA game, in the Hawaii game. Had they gone, I think, the way they should have, it would have been a markedly different season. But, you know, that's last year, and right now it's really close to under the Bulldogs' control, not completely, but about as close as you're going to get, given, as you know, where Fresno State was after the San Diego State game, heading to Boise. What the Bulldogs have done right now is put themselves in a great position to head back to a rematch, in this case at Snapdragon, or against somebody else. But I do believe San Diego State, particularly with that San Jose State game there in San Diego, will find a way to qualify as the one seed, but we'll see how it plays out, and we'll watch the Boise State game 7:30 on CBS Sports Network at the same time that Fresno State, of course, is playing Wyoming this weekend. Paul, the other thing I want to ask you about, and again, I know that NIL is what it is, but a couple of things here. One, over the weekend, there was an amazing bit of atmosphere in Lubbock, Texas. Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes showed up. They beat BYU. They put themselves, the Red Raiders have in great position to win the Big 12, which has more than 12 teams, as you know. And nobody has the right amount of teams anymore. And it came up. Paul Feinbaum brought this up over the weekend at ESPN. He said that's what happens when you have a billionaire who's willing to spend his money. And he's talking about Cody Campbell, who is worth $4 billion, who has basically bankrolled Texas Tech into national prominence. Paul, Texas Tech wasn't one of the haves prior. They've been a power school for a long time, but not an upper echelon power school. Is this something that is good for college football when it's not one of the quote-unquote traditional powers, or is it still pointing toward, if you've got somebody or bodies willing to spend a ton of money, that's how you become successful in this day and age of college sport? How do you feel right now about those that have not been traditionally Alabama or Michigan, even though they've been power schools?
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's great if you're a Red Raider fan, right? Because it has leveled the playing field and removed some advantages. It's made them more competitive, and that's across the board. It's not just football. It's basketball. It's softball, especially baseball. I suppose you can look at it and say, hey, so if you're a school and you've got the right leadership in place and you can cast enough vision and there just happen to be people in your fan base or alumni base who have that kind of money available and are willing to share it with you, great. But, you know, as far as the good of college sports, no, it's not good for college sports. The arms race really, as much as it has created opportunities, it's stolen opportunities, and it's changed the game, and it's changed the lessons coaches are teaching. Most of all, it's changed the priorities. It's made you know, college sports about me instead of we. And so coaches who for years have prepared young men and women for life by things that are going to serve them well in the real world, where they have to work as teammates, where they have to sacrifice, whether it's in marriage or in family or in organizations, you know, professionally or in volunteer organizations, those fundamental principles that team sports teach you, especially at that level, where you have to be so invested and so disciplined, those principles are what have made leaders, you know, in all industries for generations. And now we're basically flipping that upside down. And, you know, so you have one side of college sports say, no, it's all about you. And then you have coaches trying to swim upstream against that current, saying, no, it's really about sacrificing for the greater good. And what lesson are these young people going to take away from it is the question. And you also have coaches who, on one hand, are trying to preach those bigger picture principles and goals, but who also have to play, or at least feel like they have to play the same game and be a part of this, you know, self-centered system. So, you know, you may be asking the wrong guy because, you know, I look at it a little differently. And, I mean, people can call me old-fashioned or a stick in the mud or whatever, but I believe that the principles that have been around for all of history really don't change, that, you know, you either humble yourself or you're going to be humbled. And, you know, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And, you know, I really bristle at what college sports has become and what it's encouraging. So I love when you see the exceptions to that rule. And that's why that win at Boise State was so satisfying for Fresno State. When you heard Coach Entz afterwards getting emotional about the players playing for each other and not for themselves, not for a paycheck, not for NIL money, not for a bling chain or anything like that, but for each other. That's what team sports is all about. That's where the best college sports stories of all times all revolve around, and that's what is becoming a casualty of this day and age. So I hope eventually there's a course correction, but, you know, you asked me the question, Tony, that's my honest answer. It's okay if others don't agree with me. I want the players, you know, to get what they deserve. And, you know, that's the other piece of it. For many years, the truth underneath the surface was that basketball players and football players were generating a lot of revenue for universities that wasn't coming back to them, but was creating scholarships for, you know, in large part, more affluent elements of the community playing sports that didn't generate revenue. And that was part of the system, that you bring it in with this sport, and it pays for that other sport. And, you know, in a geopolitical sense, we'd probably call that socialism or even communism. And college sports has certainly gotten more capitalistic. But is the end result going to be something that is palatable for everyone? Time will tell. And I'm just thankful we live in a community where college sports still matter, where people still care. And I think we need to be mindful of that relationship. Because without the red wave, without people buying tickets and funding scholarships, which this community has done for generations, and donating to the program, without those things, Bulldog student-athletes don't have these opportunities. So that's something that we can never take for granted. And this valley, the university, this community, we're always at our best when we're all in it together. So I just hope that ultimately that's the principle and the underlying emphasis that wins the day.
Well, Paul, I'm in agreement with you. I will tell you, and it was brought up last week on the show, that there's equality amongst the inequality of college football, meaning at the absolute upper echelon, they have managed to level the playing field for the moment because of the shared revenues. Now we're seeing equity issues and other things that mean the ultimate haves will pull away from even their own conference mates. We talked about the two ships sailing away. And so you're getting schools like Kansas, for instance, because you saw firsthand a major benefactor. His name is on the stadium there in Lawrence. I know at Indiana, John Mellencamp has thrown a ton of money toward IU.
and he's encouraged others around that area to do it. Just talked about Texas Tech, you know, been buying themselves in a women's sports side a chance for titles, and now we're seeing it in the main men's sports. So you're talking about those that aren't the true haves, but they are within the confines of the haves. We'll see what the response is from the Michigans and the USCs and the Alabamas, et cetera. But for a Fresno State, Paul, to your point, and Panish and I talked about this several weeks ago, it may very well be that we start to talk about power, non-power conferences, that we're actually going to tier this thing on the basis of, I hope, a cap at some point that you only play in conference against schools that play within the same financial parameters. I think it's inevitable, Paul. It's a little bit of the changing of the guard. It's almost like when we talk about dividing California up. If you were to split it, you wouldn't split it NorCal and SoCal. You would split it coastal and inland. The same thing, I think, is going to occur in college sports. We are going to have to divvy it up on the basis of how much money you can spend, how much money you're willing to spend, and how you can find a conference where you're all within an association that you agree to spend about the same amount of dough. Is that how we're going to have to do it?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think you're going to have, and we don't know what else is going to happen globally, right? I mean, I think the world, when we start next academic year, the world's probably going to look a little different than it does today. And, you know, there have been so many insane changes in the last 5 years. I don't think we're necessarily done with those changes. So none of us has a crystal ball. I think you just hope that, you know, the leaders, the people at the table, make decisions that have some common sense behind them, that prioritize the long-term benefit of the student-athlete. And, again, don't take for granted the relationship with fan bases, because that's the lifeblood. That's where it all flows from. So we'll see. I think the conversation will be ongoing, and maybe some people get sick of the conversation. But I'm just excited, you know, to see what it meant to those Bulldog players to get that win in Boise, the fact that they don't leave the state the rest of the regular season, and they've got some confidence going into this home stretch, to see Coach Wahlberg's team bounce back. I think, you know, he made a little adjustment in how he handled his rotation as well, and I think you've got some players who are showing they can play at this level, and what you want is to have that transition of guys who are at this level for the first year. You'd like to accelerate that learning curve, so by the time a very deep Mountain West conference rolls around, you're ready for prime time. Because, you know, make no mistake, this conference is going to be really tough again this year. And, you know, the Bulldogs were picked 11th out of 12th. I think they have a chance to improve on that prediction if they pick up some momentum in this non-conference. And that means getting guys like DJ Stickman minutes. I think Gasper Kochever is showing he can be a player and a difference maker at this level. You know, finding ways to consistently get hybrid breeder shots, hopefully getting DJ Douglas healthy where he can shoot the three. But, you know, there are a lot of things that I think we can look forward to, and Red Wave has a lot of chances to catch that team at home. So looking forward to it.
Again, home on Wednesday, home on Saturday, football team home on Saturday. Paul, as I let you go, always a pleasure, and, you know, these are conversations that will be ongoing, that's for sure, but for the football team, it is just win, baby, win three straight, and I think you're going to be in great shape. Very quickly, last 60 seconds, Veterans Day, very, very important tomorrow. I know you are so involved with it. It's the time to honor everybody, but particularly in this case, those that not only serve the country so beautifully, but that, by and large, are still with us. And that's a great opportunity to come up and tell a vet thanks. And I hope people certainly take that opportunity tomorrow.
Absolutely. You know, and we're blessed with so many businesses in this community that care about vets, that are going to give vets free meals tomorrow. So if you're a veteran, go take advantage of all of them. I'll be downtown for the Veterans Day Parade in the morning. I get to see the dinner at Clovis Veterans Memorial District tomorrow night. There's so many events all throughout the valley. You know, other communities have parades. Porterville's got a giant parade tomorrow. I'll get to be on TV with Channel 30 talking about a lot of the entries in the Veterans Day Parade, which is still the biggest west of the Mississippi. I mean, our community loves our veterans. So if you're not connected, if you're a veteran, you know, there are so many ways to get plugged in. And if you're someone who just appreciates their service and sacrifices, there's so many ways to honor and serve them. And, you know, you've been super encouraging and supportive with our Central Valley Honor Flight mission. We've got close to 500 vets now who are on that waiting list. So that mission is going to continue for a few more years. But we'll have some vehicles in the parade. In fact, me and Ed's was kind enough to let us use their historic fire truck. So thanks to me and Ed's and the Ferdinandi family for that. And look for some of those Central Valley Honor Flight veterans to wave to. You'll have veterans in that parade who are over 100 years old. And you'll have some of the future servicemen and women. You know, ROTC is so big in this community, and it's so encouraging to see the young people. In fact, at the tailgate, I'd invite everybody out to that on Bulldog Boulevard this coming Saturday. The latest young men and women from Fresno State who are in the ROTC program will take their oath of enlistment right on Bulldog Boulevard there before the ball game. So if you want to see what the future of America and leadership look like, I hope you'll come on by. And a couple more things, Tony, since you brought it up. Clovis Veterans Memorial District tomorrow on Veterans Day is opening their new World War II exhibit at their Heritage Center. I haven't seen it yet, but I hear it's going to be fantastic. And I was downtown last week and got to see all my friends at the Veterans Memorial Museum. And they've got some new technology that they're employing there in the museum. If you go there on Wednesdays, every Wednesday, you've got a 100-year-old Marine who fought in the Battle of Okinawa, who's one of your tour guides, one of your docents, Dave Fusinato. So I'd go down there and thank him for his service on Wednesday and tour that museum, which has so much. It's open 10 to 3. It's free. And they can keep you occupied for all five of those hours, trust me.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, it's going to be a great week. And I hope you know, the weather is supposed to be terrific tomorrow. The rains won't get here until late Wednesday. So I hope people enjoy Veterans Day. And I hope you have a terrific week as well, my friend. Always good talking to you, and next week we'll maybe not have so many interruptions. Take care, my friend.
Sounds good, Tony. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Okay. All right, guys. Paul Lepworth. Before we wrap it up, guys, I want to remind you about our sponsors. I want to thank Jorge for great work today because we did have to dance through a few things here technically. But, again, want to remind you about our great sponsors, including everybody at KOC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. One more time, it's a throwback to the late 90s right now. For a limited time, the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love. The 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals are right there front and center. Also on Tuesdays, the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders offer still in place. Wednesday, the $5.99 country fried steak still there for you, and all the chicken sandwiches. Right now, just $3.99. Stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the valley. The other reminders about the schedule, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, it's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Again, Ed does such a great job fundraising for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. So many of those grads land right there at Precision Civil Engineering. The goal is always with Ed's fundraising to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources. It continues to work beautifully. He allows me the time every day to tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790. Tonight, a terrific matchup from Major Wager Monday. Paul brought up me and Ed's, Carter and the gang, as always this time of year, Major Wager Monday, Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota. Get there by 5 o'clock. Great matchup tonight. The Eagles and the Packers at Lambeau. I would imagine it's going to be cold. One never knows about Lambeau this time of year, but a very important game. And as we mentioned, the Rams and the Seahawks are going to play on Sunday. We'll have the Rams broadcast. And those four teams, between those four teams, you're probably going to find the NFC Conference champion. That would be my guess. 49ers, by the way, have a game against Arizona on Sunday. I do want to mention to Ram fans, I had a couple of them ask me about this. Yes, you're going to end up with the 49er-Arizona game, and you will not see the Ram game here, so I hope you have access to it through YouTube and NFL Ticket or at a local establishment because it's a very important game. But by the regional broadcast, the 49ers and the Cardinals would be the game we'll see here. But an important Sunday, we'll have both the Rams and 49er feeds, and the Raiders are on Monday night against the Cowboys, by the way. That's all of our games for our local teams. We have, of course, the Thursday, Sunday, and Monday games, and as always, Monday, Major Wager Monday. Again, tonight, the Packers and the Eagles, me and Ed's Victory Grill, 5 o'clock. Stop by and see Carter, everybody there, Granite Park, Cedar, and Dakota. Great atmosphere, big screen TVs, terrific food as always at me and Ed's. The other reminder, the Lakers getting started in about 45 minutes with the pre. They have a tip in Charlotte just after 4 o'clock on 790. Speaking of 790, our sister station, Paul Meadows has his fine show, Sunbird Sports Show, on Wednesday, 6 to 7, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on 790. Paul also has his long-running show on 1430 live from First String Sports on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to noon, Central Valley Sports Report. He joins Phil every Friday. We're in playoff land now, so it's down the stretch for high school football. Stay tuned for that on Friday. Phil will tell you more about that. Phil has his great show Behind the Bench, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. You can always reach Phil on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. We are with you 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. And finally, want to thank, in addition to Precision Civil Engineering and Ed Dunkel, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC, of course, in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Again, 825-5337, 825-Lee's, or leesair.com. And again, mark down the Lee's Air hotline. You can call Phil, 559-320-1430. Phil is coming up for 2 hours today. Then it's time for Carter and the Gang, Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Packers and the Eagles on both ABC and on ESPN and on our air on Westwood One. This is KFIG Fresno.